Y'all don't know me. I am come on staff here a while back. I've been teaching in the Groves for, I don't know, quite a while, and this is one of my favorite classes. This is I love Grow One. I've seen some transformations come out of this class, and there's one thing in our life that transforms us, okay? There's different tools that are used to transform us, but there's one key element that transforms us for the good in everything we do, and it's Jesus Christ. Everything that we teach on in here, everything that we look at, everything we talk about is going to point back to one thing, and that's relationship with Jesus, because without that, there's no purpose. Without this presence in our life, our meaning and our purpose kind of get lost in everyday life. It kind of gets, we put our purpose and our meanings and everything else. I did it for a long time. I found purpose in a lot of other things in my life other than my relationship with Jesus. But when I'm a jet fuel kind of guy, I like fast, hard impacts. I'm a football fanatic. Y'all don't know it. We got us a professional football player in the house. Go on, raise your hand. That boy right there is a professional punter. Yeah. Yeah, hey, great man of God. That's his beautiful fiance beside him. But I'm a football fanatic because it's fast-paced. There's lots of hitting. And that's how I like to live my life. And that's what certain aspects of Jesus bring to me is this fast-paced, in-your-face, calm, collective opportunity to transform every area in your life. That's what I love about a relationship with Jesus. We can never get enough of Christ in our life. We can never achieve enough. We can never pursue enough. And we'll never receive enough of Jesus in our life because it is our life source. It's everything that drives us. Whether we know it or not, that's the very thing. The fact that we are breathing right now is because Jesus Christ is pumping oxygen into our lungs because everything that lives is underneath his realm. It's underneath his control and power. And we hear a lot about Jesus. We talk about God, and then we talk about this one over here, the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, well, today what I want to talk about is we're going to talk about all three of them. This is a very, very, very important aspect of a Christian walk, is understanding the Trinity. The Trinity, when we get through tonight, my goal is to bring clarity to the Trinity of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because when we have clarity in who these three are as one, but yet their individual purposes, their individual responsibilities, and their unique characters, it truly gives us the greatest roadmap, the greatest instruction manual. It gives us the greatest handlebars that we can grab a hold of in our life because they cover the multitudes of everything we experience. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been down some roads in my life that were very, very dark. I've been down some roads in my life that I didn't know I was going to make it off of. I promise you, I say this every time I teach, and I say this because I want to make sure that Jesus Christ gets the glory for everything that happens. I'm the most unlikely suspect to be on this microphone tonight. But the reason why I'm on this microphone tonight is because I finally realized who I was supposed to be, and all three of these played a huge part in it. Okay? And that's what I want to do is I want to break that down real quick. So before we get started, I'm going to open this up in prayer. I'm fixing to do a demonstration. And then this is going to be a very interactive class tonight. If you've ever been with me, I'm not going to stand behind this pulpit or this podium and just teach a lecture lesson. We're going to get involved with each other. You good with that? Because whether you knew it or not, when you signed in tonight, you actually become part of my family. I'm sorry that y'all got invited into this family, but we're family now. So when I see you, I'm going to tell people, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. And it may embarrass you some. That's good. I'm sure it still embarrasses my blood brother. It embarrasses my wife. I love that. But y'all become family. Y'all okay with being family with me tonight? All right. Father, as we enter into your presence, we don't have to ask. We get to receive. Because, Father, you were here before we walked in the door. And you are here, God, and your presence was with us because you care so much about your children that you know if we will encounter you tonight, if we will draw closer to you tonight, that God, there will be more peace in our life. There will be more empowerment in our life. There will be more purpose in our life. And God, one of the greatest things that we can obtain about you outside of a relationship is knowledge. Because the more we know, the more we know. And God, we just want to know you more tonight. I want to know you more tonight. I want to experience you more tonight. I want to hear you more tonight. I want to sense you more tonight. I want to feel you more tonight, God, so that when I begin to partake on my day tomorrow, Father, that I'm guided, I'm protected, and then I get to walk and relish in this thing we call relationship. Just as I have the privilege of getting to know my wife better daily, my greatest privilege, Father, is I get to know you better daily. God, I pray that you open our minds, our eyes, our ears, and our hearts that we may receive the word that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now let's look at this. So, does anybody in here know what H2O is? Okay. So what are some different forms of H2O? What'd you say, Sheila? Steam. Ice. What was the other one? Liquid. Water. So there's three different parts to H2O, but they're all what? They're all H2O, right? You see where I'm going with this? So I want to show you this physical demonstration, because when we see something physically, we can transmit it to the spiritual. Okay? And when we see this very demonstration is what made me say, ha, I get it now. Because I used to fight with my Sunday school teacher when I was little about the Trinity, to the point where she told my dad, and I got beat in the Methodist church because my dad would whoop you at church. It didn't matter. While the service was going on, I got whooped. That's just how I was raised. My dad didn't wait. It wasn't this, wait till we get home, son. This was, I'm going to go ahead and catch it right now when I've got all this good head of steam built up. And I argued with her about the Trinity because it did not make sense to me. I was like, how can one person be three people? How can he do this and this? And it didn't make sense to me. And then when I understood this illustration, I was like, okay, I could have kept myself from catching a beating when I was younger if I'd have known this when I was younger. So look here. What is this? What's it also? It's H2O. It's just in a different form. You can't suck this through a straw. But it's still water. Can everybody see that? And I don't mean to be elementary, but what is this? But it's still a form of what? H2O, correct? All right. But it's liquid. It's not solid. It serves a different purpose. Have you imagine trying to wash dishes with ice? It'd be a little difficult. But try to imagine icing down a cooler full of water, bottled water, with lukewarm water. It'd be useless, right? Yet they're the same thing. Now look at this. I'm just praise God I did not burn the chapel down. What is that? Steam. Can you imagine trying to use steam to wash your clothes? I know we use it to dry it, but could you imagine a sink full of steam to wash dishes? No, but it has its purpose. You ever seen a nice, good starched pair of jeans? Try to starch some jeans with a bucket of ice. It's not going to work out. Three different things, three unique characteristics, but still identically the same thing. All come from the same source. Y'all tracking with me? Okay. And the reason why I'm doing this is because we're fixing to go over their unique characteristics. And in their unique characteristics, I won't, if you start getting confused, come back to this illustration. I'm going to turn this down so we don't burn. I heard them sirens, and I was like, that might be for me. I mean, you know, the fire, not like I've done something wrong. And so, If when we go through this, if you say, hang on a second, that just doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense to you, please stop me. Let's talk about it. Because if we don't grow and learn in here when we on our way out, what's the use? So I want to grow and learn tonight. But if you have to refer back to this illustration so it makes sense. So let's get started on this. All right, I'm excited about this teaching because when things become clear in our minds, what happens is our vision becomes clear. And when we can see clear, we can walk clear. When we see clear, when there's a story in the Bible, when Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus, okay? He met Saul on the road to Damascus. He blinded him. He took him to a place and he was blind for 3 days. And then it says he come and remove the scales from his eyes that he may see again. He restored his vision. He restored his vision so he didn't have to look in his past no more. He didn't have to look over his shoulder. He wasn't thinking and looking the same way he was before. Well, the same way with what I want to do tonight is I want our vision to become more clear about this Trinity. So if maybe some of us were taught wrong, maybe if we had a wrong idea, we don't have to look back at that and question, well, is this wrong or right? Because everything I give you tonight is coming from the Bible. And we're going to support, we're going to go through a bunch of scripture tonight together as a class. And everything that I do tonight, I'm going to support with scripture. We good with that? Because I don't want it to be Justin Lindsay words. This is the true, the inspired word of God. And we're gonna show the clarity of it. We good? All right, well, let's go on this journey together. Let's look at this. So let's look first at how they are alike. All right, this is how the God, the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, how they are alike. Number one, it says it's united in power. We have to understand what the word united means. So the definition of united is being in agreement, harmonious, joint action, or combined. So they are harmonious, they're in agreement, and they're joint action in power. All right? Well, what is it? What kind of power are we talking about? We know God's strong. All right? We know he can do things, but we have to get beyond we humanize God sometimes because we think, God, yeah, he's done all this thing, but when we put the word but beside the word power in God, we're trying to take away from the power of God, and the scripture says that he's omnipotent, which means all-powerful, all right? And if you want to write this scripture down as a reference, we're going to go through these pretty quick so we can get to this chart down here. But it says he's united in power. 1 Peter 5:11 says this. This is refreshing to me. This is why this scripture is refreshing to me, is because when we're talking about God, we're talking about our Creator. And my hand and my life rest in the hands of the Creator. Does that make anybody in here excited knowing that everything that we do rests in the hands of the Creator? Does that excite y'all? Because if it excites you, this next scripture should set you on fire. It does me. It says, for all power belongs to God. Well, that means I'm victorious. What? All power belongs to who? My dad? All power. So if all power belongs to God, I'm his lineage. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. That means that all power belongs to me because he has put everything underneath our feet. So all power belongs to God. That means that we have access to all the power in the world. That ought to make someone in here excited for what you're dealing with. Because your daddy has all the power. And it says, now and forever. This isn't a temporary power. This isn't a temporary power. This is an eternal power. So if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that you have full access to all power. Come on. All power. Number two. Now, let's look at Psalm 62:11 real quick. Let's go back to number one. It says, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard. He says, I have heard it many times. The power, O God, belongs to you. He's saying, God is telling me. And he says, he's told me, and I've heard him many times. And I finally get it, that power belongs to you. Why am I hanging out on power? Because some of us live a powerless life Because we don't know whose we are. We're clinging to who we are. And when we realize whose we are and we walk in this power that God grants us daily, it changes every scenario of our life because we realize we're fighting from a stance of victory because the Trinity, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit are united in power. That means nothing can defeat them. Nothing. If a professional football player was walking into a game and he already knew the score and he already knew the outcome of the game and he knew that they were going to win 150-0 and the coach said, all you got to do is stand there and be defensive. All you got to do is dig your feet in, the victory's already won. Do you think he'd play that ball game just a little bit different? You think that run through would just be a little bit different? You think the music in the stands would be just a little bit different? You think the fans would be rooting just a little bit different? Absolutely. That's who we are. We're that football team that gets to have that power. I better set this alarm, because if I don't, we'll be here all night if you know anything about me. Come on. All right. Number two, united in mission. United in mission. What's the mission? So, y'all got to talk to me. What is God and Jesus' mission? Somebody said it. Save souls. It's simple, guys. It's the lost. That's what they come for. It was the lost. The whole entire Bible is about God saving people. Is there different tools and different avenues and different stories and different ways? Sure. There has to be because we're all unique. But the mission is about saving souls. And not only saving souls, is once they get saved, it's about strong relationship. God doesn't just, listen, the cross wasn't just to save us. The blood of Jesus wasn't just for salvation. The blood of Jesus was for so much more than that. Their number one goal is to get us saved, is for us to have saved, to be saved from an eternity in hell, an eternity in the grave, yeah. But I promise you, we have a relational Father, and He desires for us to grow with Him relationally daily. And the blood of Jesus allows us that. It says that when Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil was torn. What does that mean? When you study it, that veil is the very thing that kept people out of the presence of God. A priest had to go through all these ceremonial things and purify himself just so he could step into the presence of God behind the veil. And they tied a rope around his foot because if he was not ceremonial clean, the presence of God would kill him and have to drag him out. True story. The Bible's pretty neat. When Jesus died, that veil was torn. Now we have complete access to the Father. We have complete access to the Son. We have complete access to the Holy Spirit. And that access is what drives us to do the mission. If His mission is the lost, what should our mission be? Come on now. We're talking about life, eternal stuff. If someone wouldn't have told me I was lost, I don't know where I'd be today. I probably wouldn't be here. If God's mission is the lost, what's ours? Come on, the lost. You got to express it. Y'all got me up here sweating. We have to understand the value and the power of the fact of the matter is that all of these are united in this mission for the lost. That means that we should be united in the mission for what? The lost. That's right. Number three, united in community. Look around you. What did I tell y'all a while ago we was going to become? Family. Not family feud. Family. I'm talking about barbecue, fried fish family, or whatever y'all like to eat at family reunions. Family, they were united in community. Here's the cool thing about it. God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, they're a community. But they're a community united into this ultimate community called creation. They're united in the fact that He loves His children to be in His presence, and that's called community. He loves community. Number four, united in love for us. A lot of people think God is a tough old, angry, fire-breathing God. Has anybody ever experienced that thought or that God is angry? You can be honest in here. There you go. I want to ask you a question. Now, I'm going to ask that question a little bit. We'll come back to that. But he's united in love for us. Listen to this scripture. It's 1 John 4:7-8. If you want to write that down as a reference. I love this right here. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." He is a loving, caring God. And I'm fixing to get to show you that here in just a second through the identity of Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit. And it is powerful. It is powerful to see the love of God, because he displayed a love that some of us I overlooked for a long time. And when I put it into this scenario that I'm fixing to share with you, when I put it into that, it made me realize that there's something called agape love, and it is a perfect love. And there's nothing that can display this agape love except for Jesus Christ. And this agape love changes everything about our life, because an agape love is not based off of what you can do. It's not based off of performance. It's based off of what Jesus already did. That's powerful. Somebody in here tonight needs to hear that you cannot work yourself to Jesus. You can't. You're not going to accomplish it. That's why Jesus came, is to accomplish it for us. All he wants from you is relationship. If you're trying to work yourself to heaven, you're going to work yourself to death. All he wants is relationship with you. So let's break this chart down real quick. I'm fixing to pass out some scriptures, okay? So y'all will be ready. Let's see. Dan, your table, you're going to read Ezekiel. It's number 3 under God. I'm going to go ahead and hand these out so we're ready. It's going to be Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Amy, you're going to read H2O. All right? They're one, but ice is unique from steam. Steam actually melts ice. And water is unique from steam and ice, just like steam is unique from water. They're all unique, but they're the same thing. But they each play such an important role, right? So we're going to look at these important roles that they play. So number one, God, how are they unique? Number one is creator. God is creator. It says, in the beginning, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. God created, okay? So he is creator. Number two, this is where this stuff starts getting real good, and this stuff right here starts to gets me excited, because it confirms where I am in my life, and I know in my life that if today is the last day that I take a breath because of who my Father is, I'm golden. Man, that ought to excite everybody in here tonight, that you don't have to worry about what happens when you walk out that door. We don't. We're saved. We're sanctified. And God's got, there's nothing more terrifying as a parent to drop your kids off with someone else right at first, and you just don't know they're protected, right? Y'all have been there. We don't have to fear like that. We don't have to live like that. Because the day we received Jesus Christ, we were protected. So look at this. Number two, he's the Redeemer. Redeemer. What does Redeemer mean? Redeemer means to free from captivity by payment of ransom. I'm going to ask a simple question, and then we're going to move on. Who in here has a son? Let's move right back here. Let me get back to this table. Right here. How old's your son? Oh, right here. Your wife. How old's your son? 10 and 6. You have a 10-year-old. What's his name? Ryder. Okay. So let me ask you this question. I've got a prison full of jacked up people. I've got a prison full of murderers, prison full of gossipers, a prison full of rapists. I've got a prison full of slanderers. I've got a prison full of prisoners. And I said, I tell you what, I'll swap you. As a ransom, you give me Ryder, and I'm going to take his life, but I'm going to open the gates and let all these people free. Could you do it? Is anybody in here willing to give up their son as a ransom to free a bunch of prisoners? No? I wouldn't. It's not possible. There's no way I'd lay one of my daughters down. But God the Redeemer did. You think about that. You think about that. John 3:16 explained it. For God so loved the world, for God so loved us, for God so loved every wretched prisoner in the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. He says, I'll stick the needle in my son's arm so we can sling the gates of this grave open. I'm your redeemer. I'm the one who sent the price. I paid that price for you. What do you do with coupons when you redeem something? You give them coupons and you redeem a product, right? Our coupon was the Son of God, and what did we redeem? Eternal life. Come on, grow one. That right there ought to get you up and say, let's go spread the word tonight. Because we're in a lost world, we're in a lost community, and there are people driving by your house, there are people you work with, there's people in this church, there's people driving around this loop right now that if it was their last day, they'll split hell wide open because they haven't heard about Jesus. And that's our responsibility. I know this is about the Trinity, but this is what the Trinity is about. This is what the Trinity empowers us to do. Number three, he was the developer of the plan of redemption. This table right here. Somebody read that. Cole, read that for me, bud. Come on, Cole. You're going to read Ezekiel 36, 25, and 27. Here. Hang on a second. They need to hear it. Come on, Cole. You with me?
Man, why you got to die? I'm not sitting in the front no more.
I'm up to the back.
Okay. I will always sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
You bet it's good. That's God's redeeming plan. He says, you know what? I'm going to take all that junk on my shoulders, and I'm going to put a new spirit inside of you. What do you think that spirit is? Holy Spirit. We're coming to him. All right? But all through the Old Testament, God talked about the Holy Spirit. That's God saying, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to bear this old burden for you. I'm going to put this junk on my shoulders. And I've had a plan from the get-go. I've had a plan from Genesis. All right? Because he says that they let us create them in our image. Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God and the Holy Spirit was there from the get-go. Been God's plan the whole time. And he says, because they ain't going to be able to do it. So he's not only the Redeemer, he's the one that brewed up the plan. And he said, I got a plan. I got a plan for you. And this plan will set you free from the grips and the depths of hell. That was God's plan. That's a pretty good plan to me. Pretty good plan to me. Okay, number four. It says, God is the only one that knows the time of Jesus' return. Who's got that one? Right there. Read Mark 13, 31, and 32. Hang on a second. Let me get over here. I told y'all this is interactive.
Heaven and earth will perish and pass away, but my words will not perish or pass away. But of that day or that hour, not a single person knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
That's for God to know. That's God identifying himself. He said, that's for me to know. Not even the angels and Jesus know. He says, all this is going to pass away. But what did he say was going to endure forever? His word. If you're not downloading this into your life every single day, you're missing out. Because this will not return void. This will endure forever. The word of God will live on and endure forever. It is the completion that we need in our life. This is the instruction manual to live a righteous life. You want to understand what it is to live a peaceful life? There's your instruction manual. You want to understand what it is to restore a relationship? There's your instruction manual. You want to understand what it means to be free? There's your instruction manual. And it will not return void. It won't. It won't return void, and it will endure forever. God's characterizing himself. He's saying, that one's just for me. I'm the only one who knows. That's powerful. Because you would think he would let Jesus in on it because he did play a huge role in it. But he said, that one's just for me. Let's jump over here to this guy we call Jesus. Number one, he's the Son of God. That's pretty cut and dry. He's the Son of God. He impregnated a virgin named Mary. And from her come, and he said, you will name him Jesus. And from this, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He is the Son of God. Number two, Savior. He is our Savior. The greatest sacrifice, we just talked about it a while ago. None of us would be willing to sacrifice our children for a bunch of prisoners. But God said, this is the plan I've got. Now here's the thing. Jesus had a choice because he was all God and all man. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, God, when he's on his knees praying, and it says he was praying so fervently that blood began to drop from his forehead, and then he said, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. He says, but thy will be done. He had a choice. If you study it, it says that if he would have, on the cross, if he would have even thought, I can't do this, that legions of angels would have come to his rescue. He saved us. That's the reason why the blood of Jesus is not just for our salvation. Gosh, man, the blood of Jesus is for, it's for peace. It's for healing. It's for strength. It's for freedom. It's for our purpose. It's for our ministry. It's to reach the lost. The blood of Jesus covered everything. That's why he was our Savior. Because the lineage that was running through Jesus Christ's vein, his blood was so potent, so powerful, so pure, that when it stained that cross, it stained it for eternity. It covered us for eternity. You can't take away from the cross and you can't add to it because it was in completion. What Jesus did on that day was complete. He is a complete Savior. You do not have to keep getting saved. He's a complete Savior. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I was saved. I didn't have to get up and go through some ritualistic thing to make my God pleased or happy. I just had to acknowledge him and say, you are my king. That's what a true Savior does. There is nothing in your life that can save you outside of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus, the hand of God, is the only thing that can resurrect things from the dead. That's it. That's what he did for us. And when it says Jesus is our Savior, we can't just read that lighthearted. We got to understand that when he said that Jesus is our Savior, that means that we are saved for eternity, and that should excite somebody that we don't have to worry about the grips of hell because we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Number three, he's our intercessor. Who's got Hebrews 7 and 25? Right here? All right. Hebrews 7 and 25. Here you go, Beth.
He is able to save completely all who come to God through him, since he will live forever, he will always be there to remind God that he has paid for their sins with his blood.
Read that very first sentence again.
He is able to save completely.
Y'all hear that? Completely. We don't have a partial God. Jesus, he's not partial. All right? He's intercessor. What that means? Well, what that means is it means that he intervenes between, basically the word intercessory means to intervene between parties with a view to reconcile differences. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice between us and the wrath of God, between us and the grave, between us and sin. He was the only sacrifice that was able to intercess, to intercede on our behalf because we could not do it. He is our intercessory. And that means that every day you wake up as a child of God, that means that, listen to me, Jesus Christ is standing in the gap for you. When you wake up in the morning, Tiffany, Jesus Christ is going to be standing in the gap for you. You don't have to depend on someone else. God's going to stand in the gap for you, and he says, you know what, I got you because you're mine. I did the work. I'm standing in the gap for you. You're going to be good. Gals, same thing for you, brother. When you wake up in the morning, when your feet hit the ground, you ought to jump up and say, you know what? Jesus Christ is standing in the gap for me today. Come on, guys. Number four, we just talked about it. He doesn't know the time of his return. We're not going to read that one again. He doesn't know the time of his return. He's the one coming back. And God said, hey, I'll let you know. Don't worry about that, son. I got you. I got you. All right, let's jump over here to this other guy. This other guy called the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about him for a second. Number one, he fills us with power. He fills us with power. Who's got Luke 24? What table is that? Right here. I love power. I love power. There you go, Jennifer. Who's going to read it?
And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven.
Now, can I borrow this for a second? I want you to look at this. It says, and now I. Who's the I? And now I will send. It's God. No, it's Jesus. I'm sorry. Now I will send. So now we've established Jesus. All I'm doing is showing you facts in the Bible. I just need you to know the clarity of them. It says, I will send who? The Holy Spirit. All right, so there's number two. Just as my Father promised. All three of them are listed there. We covered all three of them. That's Jesus talking. If it's written in red in the Bible, that's Jesus speaking. And he says, I'm doing this. All right, we got all three of them in here. And here's the thing. We may go all night. I'm sorry. No, I'll get y'all out of here, I promise. Let me say that one more time. This is the most exciting part. And he says, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Why is that significant? You got Jesus sitting here talking. He's done resurrected. He's sitting up here and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what does he do? All he's concerned about is us. That's it. He says, wait right there. And just like my Father promised, I'm going to send someone and I'm fixing to empower you for what? The mission. I'm fixing to empower you. He's sitting at the right hand. He's just been crucified. He's done rose from the grave, done whooped the devil so bad he don't even know what to do. He's done stunned the world. People are falling on their knees like, what have I done? What did I miss? And he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. If I was sitting at the right hand of God with a cow of 1,000 hills and golden streets, I don't be know if I'd be worried about this class. That's what he's worried about. He says, I want to empower you. You're his number one priority. Man. And he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit so important? This is why. Imagine if Jesus was still walking the earth and everybody needed to get access to Jesus and talk to him. Imagine what that line would look like. Them two lines at McDonald's would not keep up with it. It wouldn't. We'd be struggling. It'd be more like Whataburger, waiting there for 14 hours for a french fry. You imagine, and imagine when you got there how quick you'd be able to speak to him, how little you'd be able to say. And he says, you know, I want more for my children, so I'm going to put my spirit inside of them. That way they don't have to wait in line. That way they ain't got to wait at all. That way I am with them 24/7, 365, and they have complete and full access to the presence of God. That right there is power. That's like putting jet fuel in a go-kart. If it doesn't blow it up, I don't know. Nothing about engines. It just sounded good. But that's what we got, is we have the power, the peace, the promise, the freedom, the hope, the healing of Jesus Christ inside of us, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He's not spooky. He's not scary. He's not. He's here to empower us. He's here to set us free. He's here to guide us. Look, what does number two call him? It calls him the Comforter. I don't know about you. I'm a big old boy. But there is nothing better than when my daddy throws his arms around me and says, son, I love you. And my dad is old and crippled and barely can get around, but I still think he's the strongest man in the world just because he's my father. We get the comfort of God through the Holy Spirit. You know those, that time when you have walked through hell and you're still coming out on the other side and people say, man, you're strong. No, you're not. That is the comfort of the Holy Spirit saying, babe, I got you. I got you. I'm going to walk through this with you. I'm not going to wait on the other side till you come through it. I'm going through this hell with you. Whatever hell you're going through tonight, whatever it is in your life that you don't think you're going to come out on the other side, whatever it is you're waiting for God to show up in the hand of Jesus to be, know that the Comforter is with you right now. And he will not leave or forsake you. Number three, courage and boldness to witness. Courage and boldness to witness. Who's got Hebrews 7 and 25? Where was that at? That's that table back there? Isn't that y'all? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Acts 1:8. My bad. Acts 1:8. It's the last one, guys. We're gonna wrap up. Here we go, Chief.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
I don't know about you, but I know God called me to witness to the lost because I was lost. But I need some power. I need his presence because I don't always know what to say. Most of the time, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do. And he says, you know what, son, I'm going to cover that too, because I'm going to put my spirit inside of you and I'm going to empower you to reach. And when it says from Judea to Samaria, he was, that means he covered that, it just covered all the ground. He's saying that my name will be spread to the ends of the earth. Who do you think he wants to use for that? Us. There's people in here that work in areas of this community that I'll never set foot in. I'll never get to talk to some of the people you come in contact with. That's why he's empowered us to spread his word. That is the mission. As much as they're united in the mission, we have to be united in the mission of the lost with God. That's our mission. And we don't have to do it alone. We were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this. And listen, someone in there said, well, how do I share something? What do I say? I'm not a very good speaker. Your greatest testimony, your greatest witness is what God has brought you through. If you're sitting here today, that means God has brought you through something. That's all you got to do is tell them what Jesus has done for you. God will do the rest. Tell Jesus, imagine, how many people's in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, huh? 54, let's go 50 for easy math. I'm from Alto. If all 50 of us told one person about Jesus tomorrow, that's 50 more people. What if we all told two? You see where I'm going with that? See how powerful a small class can be when we're united for the same mission? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, I'm going to empower you for this mission to save the lost, to tell the lost about me. You don't have to be a dynamic speaker. Look at me. You don't have to have a microphone in your hand. It could be at a gas station when you're pumping gas and say, brother, you know what? I just hope you have a blessed day. That is the generosity of Christ. It's about generosity. It's about love. Just imagine if our country quit trying to cut each other's throat and we just started loving one another, how quick it would turn around. We keep plastering what it's about. It's about this, it's about that. No, it's about lack of love, period. It's about lack of love. And it's because they don't know what Jesus has done in their life. It is our job and our duty and our responsibility to tell them. Man, I've gone over. Let's look at these favorite things about God for me real quick. These are just some favorite things about God, and we're going to jump into this little section down here. It says, God's a speaker of truth. He's a faithful Father. This is the only scripture I want to read because this, guys, man, this right here is the most comforting thing that I've ever let settle my heart. Number two, it says he's the faithful Father. Number one, a speaker of truth. Number two, is a faithful Father. We hear this word father. I'm a daddy of three daughters. So the word daddy means a lot to me. Listen to what it says. This is Galatians 4, 6 through 7. If you want to write this down on you as a reference. 4, 6 through 7. And it says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. That right there means daddy God. He ain't just our father. There's a difference between a father and a daddy, and you dads know what I'm talking about. And there's some of you in here ain't experienced a daddy. You know what I'm talking about. Guess what? You have a real daddy in God. He says, I'm Abba Father. He means I'm daddy God. He says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That means that you are an heir and an inheritant to the kingdom of God. You are an heir to the Savior of the world, to the Creator of the world. You know what? My dad, when he passes away, he's going to leave me some kind of inheritance. It may be some bills. I don't know. I'm not worried about my earthly inheritance, but my heavenly inheritance says I am victorious. My heavenly inheritance says, you know what? I get to walk on streets of gold when this junk is over. But while I'm here, because I have that inheritance, I'm going to fight tooth and nail to tell everybody that I come into contact about this man named Jesus that saved my life. Because of my inheritance, I can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of my inheritance, I can walk in peace. Because of my inheritance, I can walk in freedom. Because of my inheritance, when I'm walking through hell, I know I'm comforted by the Holy Spirit. And that ought to get some of you in here fired up tonight. Because of your inheritance, you have inherited the kingdom of God. Man, and we get to call God daddy? Whew. Jesus, number one, his forgiveness. Number two, his ability to identify with us. And I added one to that. I added the word meekness. Meekness means power under restraint. If anybody ever tells you that Jesus was a weak God, ask them to be nailed to a cross and have their body ripped apart and never speak a word. It's called meekness. It's not weakness. Meekness is power under restraint. Have someone shove a spear in your side, and you look at them and say, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's what he did for us. I'm the guy with the spear. I'm the guy driving the nails through his hands and his feet. I'm the guy flogging his back. I'm the guy shoving the crown of thorns upon his head and mocking him. And he said, God, forgive him because he doesn't know what he does. But because he's mine, I got a plan for him. And then here's some things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, he is an immediate help. And number two, his voice. His voice is the quietest loudest thing in your life. It's that whisper in your ear. It's that petitioning in your heart. That's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. All right? That's not your conscience saying that. No. Let your conscience be your guide. No, you're guided by the Holy Spirit. That's God saying, that doesn't line up with my word. That I need you to bless that brother or sister because they're in a position that you can understand. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the last box, there's three spots. We're going to take a couple minutes to do this, and I got to wrap this up. All right, we're going to list one thing you know about God through personal experience, one thing you know about Jesus, and one thing you know about the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to take about 2 to 3 minutes, and I want y'all to do this. It's not a table activity. This is an individual activity. This is between you and God. I want you to write this down. I want you to take that section home. I encourage you one of the things when we begin to write out who God means to us, and you have to be honest. You got to realize God knows what's in your heart. He knows what, so it's, you're not going to surprise him if you write out something that you've personally experienced and you think that this is about God and it's bad. Okay? God wants us to be honest with him. And so if there's something in your life you experienced, I want you to put it on there, write on another piece of paper, and be honest with yourself. And if it's something you want to share with me, something you want to talk with me later, you know, throughout this process, y'all are going to be stuck with me for a little while, I'm sorry. But come see me. It's what I'm here for. Because the last thing I want you to do is have any wrongful thoughts about who God is. And I don't want the enemy to ever be able to plant a seed of a lie about this awesome, awesome daddy that we get to call God. Or this awesome, awesome God that we get to call daddy. Okay? I got a couple more things. We're going to wrap up. Y'all enjoying it so far? We good? You ain't falling asleep on me yet, are you? All right, I got some cold water up here. Okay? All right, I'm going to give you a couple fast facts, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. All right, number one, fast facts, is all three were present creation. We talked about this I told you we were going to touch on this a little bit. I love how simple the Bible is, and sometimes you got to slow down and see what God's saying. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. They were all three there, guys. They've been there from the get-go. They've been planning this from the get-go because God knew he had to have a plan for his children because he knew we weren't going to be able to do it. Okay? They've been there scheming the whole time. Praise God they have. Number two, it says they all three work together in perfect unity. It says there is only one God. There is only one God. There is only one H2O. There's only one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, it says, Israel, hear me. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. I don't know about y'all, but I like simplicity. And if I had a whole bunch of gods, I was trying to have to chase down it. Nuh-uh. It's hard. I do enough to keep up with myself. And the fact that all I got to do is be relational with one God, I kind of dig that. It says he has revealed himself in three persons. Father, God, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in the Bible. It's Mark 1:9-11. If you want to write it down as a reference, it's on here. I want to read this real quick. And it just shows the unity and the beauty of the Trinity. It says, one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. Verse 10 says, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. Verse 11 says, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly beloved Son, and you bring me great joy. All three of them. That's Jesus being baptized. It's showing Jesus as a man, but it's also showing Jesus as God. And then there is the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. That the presence of the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. And as Jesus come up, this representation of this new life, because that's the first thing Jesus did in his ministry. Okay? He was a little boy. You know, he was preaching and teaching and telling people about his father. There's a story, you know, when he got lost and they thought he was lost, and he was in the temple, and he told Mary, he said, "Woman, I've been about my father's business." She was looking for him. So he was in ministry, but he hadn't rose up and done his purpose before he goes about his purpose to save the world, to reach the lost, the united mission, the united front. He was baptized. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you. In October, we're going to sign up. We'll have baptism sign up. If you haven't been baptized, does baptism of water save you? Absolutely not. But it is an amazing public expression of new life. And as Jesus come up out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, it says the Holy Spirit ascended upon him, and Jesus looked down upon him, and before he did anything, before he gave his life on the cross, before he performed his first miracle, before he even recruited, he even got his first disciple, he said, "This here is my son, my beloved son, and I am pleased with him." That is the most beautiful representation of who God is in our life, is that when we receive that salvation, and when we receive salvation, there is a transfer of ownership in our heart. We no longer belong to the enemy. We no longer belong to the world. We are a child and an heir of the living God, and he looks upon us. Before you make your first move, before you witness to your first person, before you make your first righteous decision, he says, "You know what? My beloved son, my beloved daughter, I'm pleased with you." That is the love of a father. That is the power of a Savior. And that is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next story after that gets a little tough, because the Holy Spirit ascended upon him. God was approved of him. And then they led him into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted. I know that's not about this lesson, but we can wrap up. Why do you think that happened? Why do you think that Jesus went through all that? Why do you think he was tempted beyond anything we could imagine for 40 days and 40 nights with no food or no water? It's so he could relate to us. He says, "I love you that much. I want to know what you're going through." Because he was tempted with everything underneath the sun. We have a relatable God. We have a relatable Jesus, and that is my most favorite thing about all three of them, is that they're relational. My favorite thing about my daughters is when they climb up in my lap and say, "Daddy, how was your day?" My second favorite is when they go to sleep. But my first favorite, I do, and it's because I love relationship with my children. And as much as I love relationship with my children, as much as you love relationship with your children, there's nothing better than hearing the pitter-pat of the feet of my kids running across our house. It just brings joy to your ears. Imagine what it does to God's heart when he hears the pitter-patter of his children's feet every day chasing him. And because of this relationship, and because this is his most valued possession, he sent us a Savior and he sent us a Comforter. I don't know about you, but that right there is something I can buy into. That's something I can hang my hat on, knowing that God has me covered in every area from creation to eternity. I'm going to close this out in prayer. Make sure there's no more announcements, and I'll get you guys out of here. Father, we thank you for the day. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come in here and to dissect your word, God, and just the truth and the life that comes from the word of God. And God, that word will never return void. That word will live on for eternity. Thank you, God, that we are inheritance of this word. We are inheritance of the kingdom. We are heirs to the throne. We are heirs to eternity. We are heirs to freedom. We are heirs to a purpose. We are heirs to peace. God, I just pray that your Spirit reminds us of just how good you are. You're a good, good Father. a good, good father. And God, I pray that anybody sitting underneath the sound of my voice tonight that has not experienced that daddy-God relationship, that father figure in their life, God, I pray you meet them right where they're at. God, I pray that they climb up in your lap and that they rest in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And God, that they hang their promise on the Savior of Jesus Christ. And God, that they cry out to their daddy, Abba, Father. We love you. I pray favor over this class. I pray a purpose over this class. I pray over their finances. I pray over their family. I pray protection. I pray a hedge about their families and their children. God, and I pray that your spirit falls upon them. God, and I pray that they cannot withstand, that they cannot even hold back, God, the desire and the drive of the mission, and that is speaking your name to the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.